So let's get started. My name is Paulsen. I'm an e-uni graduate and I currently live in a C5 wormhole. I was in the uni a long time ago and there's practically nobody left that from that time except people like Faye that I can recognize. So today I'm going to be teaching this class that does not exist, that's not a real class. And the idea is going to be to provide an overview of the different types of space. Obviously, I'm not going to be able to give an absolutely complete picture. Otherwise, we'd be there for like 3, 4 hours at least. On the other hand, I'll try to do my best. You are absolutely welcome to ask any questions, chime in, complete anything I said, and or correct when I say something wrong. My own personal experience, I've lived in high sec a bit, obviously, like everybody, including my time in uni. I've got an industrial org that has spent a lot of time in the high sec, running an industrial corp and doing other things. I have lived in low sec, but not for very long. I was in the low sec campus of the uni, and then I spent some time in a low sec pocket. And I have lived 6 months in the sovereign null sec, as well as right now my alliance got consolation in null sec that the locals gave us just to make us stop bashing them. So we're experiencing with this lifestyle, splitting ourselves between that and the wormhole, as I obviously know a bit about wormhole space, having lived in a wormhole for the last 2 years. So just to get started, could I have everybody who's alive type an E in the lecture chat channel if you're in the e-uni, and type N if you're not e-uni. All right, so we'll start with high sec. High sec is the place that everybody has experienced because that's where all characters spawn. In each space, I'll go with some of the main characteristics and ISK making opportunities and PvP opportunities. So the main characteristics of high sec would be, in my view, that it's the most populated space and that you have concord, meaning that if you do not if you do something unlawful like attack another player, then concord will come and blow you up. Hello, somebody's keying up.
Dan, you queuing up?
So back to this, high sec, the two characteristics I would say would be most populated space and you've got concord. That means nobody can attack you unless they've got a war deck. It is the safest space around. Regarding ISK making opportunities, they're supposed to be less good than other spaces, though there's exceptions to that. If you go with things like mining, you've got a lot of the mining in the game is being done from high sec. Part of the reasons being that the high sec minerals are the ones that are most needed to build super caps and capitals. So high sec is actually a massive exporter of minerals to null sec and low sec, mostly null sec. And one of the reasons being that you have lots of available bells, you've got lots of space. Things like running missions, that's available to new players. You've got level 2 missions, it's safe and doesn't give you a lot of money, but it's available for new players. Then you've got things like level 4 missions, which players will usually gravitate to. And then people who love doing mission running will blitz them and get decent ISK per hour. Level 4 missions, when you know what you're doing, you can do can pull maybe 50 million ISK per hour, and more than that if you're blitzing them, picking the missions, and knowing how to maximize your loyalty point handout. Last two types of PvE available in high sec are incursions. Incursions or missions that you will do in fleet. They're particularly hard. You are fighting sentients. And the good side is you make a ton of ISK. There's a lot of debate about incursions. I'm on the side that think they're insanely overpowered. The proof being the number of people who are running incursions, who are in incursion fleets, and who are actually alts of nullsec dwellers, for example, nullsec or even wormhole dwellers, and who do incursions because it's very good ISK and there's absolutely no risk, so they can just chain incursions. And then you're looking at between 60 million ISK per hour in a very low level fleet, like an EVE Uni beginner fleet. And if you do really, really elite fleet with absolutely insanely expensive ships and people who know what they're doing, then you can do as much as 250 million ISK per hour, including the loyalty point payout.
Do you need a battle fleet in order to fly incursions, or can I just come in a battle cruiser to an incursion? Does it
Yes,
matter?
it does, because Essentia, these are very, very hard rats. You want a battleship? I'd suggest that you check out the EVE Uni incursion page, the on the EVE Uni wiki. It's very well done. The Uni has a very good incursion community, and they're very inclusive and all that stuff. The short version is, these NPCs are much more dangerous than the ones you will meet in level 4 missions. So the minimum you want is a very tanky Tech 1 battleship, like Rorke or Hyperions or the ones that are being asked for in the Shield fleet. And you want to have 70% resistances from all types of damage, because Essentia will deal damage from all different types of damage.
Thanks for the
And
information.
that's the entry feat. If you've got the people who are pro at that are using pirate battleships that are worth more than most capital ships. Last way of making ISK is when you do trading. HiSec is in the middle of New Eden, so a lot of the trade comes through HiSec. First, because you've got a lot of industrials that are based there, because it's safe. They've got stations they can dock up in, and they can do all their industry from there, moving stuff with the courier contracts. And its central position means that for all the Tech 2 market, it's simpler for everybody to move to trade from one part of nullsec to the other part of nullsec, not to mention lowsec wormhole space, by going through HiSec. So even where, for example, I'm in my wormhole, we are better off usually finding an exit to HiSec, and from there moving out to the place of nullsec that we want to be, if we absolutely want to be in a given place. Then we would be hoping that we'll get an exit near that place. So, and the probably the richest people in the games are characters that never undock from places like Jeeton. So to summarize, ISK making in HiSec is a bit less good than in other places of the game. It's not the best place in the game for that, except if you're doing trading. But it's extremely safe. Are there any questions about this? Okay, cool. Now, PvP in HiSec. There's two kinds of PvP. The first is suicide ganking. So you've got people who will be killing freighters or Tech 1 industrials and hoping to loot enough to make up for their losses, because all the ships attacking neutral industrial or freighter will be lost. And you've got people doing it for fun, like code attacking miners, as well as making ISK attacking freighters, because killing freighters is usually profitable. So that requires, if you want to do it like in a small way, all you need is a thing like a catalyst, and then you move to a low security system like 0.5 or 0.6. Find a miner that is not too tanky, say a retriever that whose owner has fitted for max yield and no tank, and attack it, and you've got a few seconds, about 20 and 0.6 space, about 20 seconds to kill it before Concorde arrives and blows up your catalyst. So if you're into that sort of things, you will enjoy seeing the miner yell in local rage and mention that you have no life and all that sort of things. Needless to say, that sort of behavior is completely not possible by, with an EVE University tune. I am not condoning it for EVE University tune, but do try and experiment with them if you want to try. The other way is war decking. So war decking is something that Unistas have a lot of experience with. So I'm not going to take too long with it. Suffice it to say that war decking means that can make HiSec the most dangerous space in the game. The reason being that in a say LowSec, any neutral is potentially hostile. So I know if I see a neutral, I can shoot it, and I know that he may want to shoot me, and he will shoot me if he believes he can get away with it. Now in HiSec, the problem is that I don't know who's on whose side. I will see war targets on my overview. I will see them on my watch list, but I don't know how many neutrals they have. They will be running locator agents on me, and they may be logged off in in certain systems and tracking me with the neutrals. Since there's always so many people in local and so many people around me, I have no way to know which ones are true neutrals and which ones are actually scouts for hostiles. So this makes HiSec extremely dangerous, because you've got some very effective gate camps, people using pip fits, very good links from neutral boosters. The only thing they don't have is small bombs and bubbles, so you can get through them, but some of them are really, really good. I even lost a pod once from a gate camp in HiSec, and I do know how to save my pod normally. Usually these wall deckers are people like Marmite Collective, and their effective life, if you're living in, say, a large non-sec alliance, because these are pretty much perma wall decked, just like the uni is. So the way around these is to use out-of-corp neutral alts to do your hauling, and or use courier contracts. So HiSec has got a lot of alts. But 74%, that's completely from memory, and I will reiterate what I said in the beginning of the class. I have lost the charts that had been posted by CCP one FanFest ago, showing the where players were in space and which area of space they lived. But from memory, HiSec was 74%, so the bulk of the players, at least the characters, are in HiSec. That includes a very large proportion of alts, but even then, you've got a lot of people in HiSec. And that's about all I have to say about HiSec. Do you have any questions, any comments, any corrections about this?
There's a lot of RNG that makes a big difference in it, but how's the money in exploration in HiSec compared to that in wormhole space or otherwhere?
And HiSec is generally bad because HiSec sites are give less loot. If you're lucky, you can have decent loot. It's always it's very random, as you said. So if you come upon the right side, you will have good loot for a very little effort. The other problem with HiSec is you've got so many people that the exploration sites will be found by a lot of people. We've got a lot of people scoring HiSec and looking for the sites and ninjaing the sites under your nose. Some HiSec explorers keep complaining. I've never done it myself much, and last time I did it was to learn how to do it, so it was like years ago in the uni. But HiSec explorers have been complaining that you've got some pro ninjas. They come, they probe the site down, they find the container that they want, they grab the high value item, they warp out to the next site. So technically the data side or the relic side is still on the overview, and other people can probe it down, and other people will hack the cans, but there's only the worthless stuff left on it. I'd say in HiSec, probably your best bet for exploration, at least if I wanted to do it, and it's not all that hard, would be to go for wormholes. Go with the low-class wormholes, and I'll mention them when we get to the wormhole part, and do your explorations in either low-class wormholes or find wormholes that leads you to a desert place of low or null sec, and do your exploration there. I believe in the Uni again, you are prohibited from doing PvE and Sovereign Nullsec. Is that still correct, or has that been relaxed? Okay, so that's still current. So you cannot. Okay, so with a new Uni character, you cannot go to the deep ends of Nullsec where nobody lives and where there's plenty of sites that nobody does, pretty much. But you can do.
How can I recognize? Pardon me. How can I recognize if I'm in Sovereignty Nullsec?
There's two ways to recognize them. The first one is when you are in the system, you will see the owner. Hold on, let me take a screen. While I do that, the second mode would be to check Dotland. If anybody wants to link Dotland, the mapping site. Thank you, guys. So when you look at when you go to Dotland and you click on Universe, you will see regions that are in Nullsec, and when they have an NPC name on them, it means they're NPC Nullsec. So the stations are owned by the pirate factions. The rest of Nullsec is owned by players.
So, for example, in the universe, when I see a system, universe region like Pureblind, then it's inhabited by NPCs.
There's some NPC space in Pureblind, and the rest is a Sovereign Nullsec. You will need to look at the region and look at the sovereignty. But when you see from the universe, if you see NPCs in Pureblind, which there are, then you know there are NPC stations there. But it doesn't mean it's 100% NPC stations. Thanks, Faye, for the map.
Okay, I understand it now. Thank you very much.
Okay. The other way to do, if you're not sure, I just linked the top of my screen. I'm sitting in a Sovereign Nullsec station in the middle of our space empire. And as you can see, you've got underneath the name of the system, you've got the Alliance logo of the owner of the system. So you can mouse over those, and these will tell you the owner. So essentially, I'd say that in HiSec, the best way to explore is to explore out of HiSec. Another example would be right now, everybody's looking after those Blood Raider thingies, and they keep complaining that in HiSec, people start the site only to have somebody else take the gate and nail the NPC in front of their eyes. So that's one of the other problems with HiSec. You've got so many people that people will ninja the sites just under your nose. Any more questions about HiSec? Okay, moving on. LowSec. By the way, I'm going to list the areas from HiSec to Wormhole Space, and I will say that again at the end of the class, and I hope that is clear from what I say. It does not mean this is a graduation like from least dangerous to most dangerous. So LowSec, the difference between LowSec and HiSec, once you move into LowSec, the main difference is that people can attack you. So if you attack somebody in LowSec, it is just like HiSec, meaning that the police will see you, you will lose security status, and if you're next to a gate or next to a station, the sentry guns there will engage you, but Concord does not come and blow your ship. So you turn suspect, you start blinking, and everybody can attack you without any taking gate guns or losing any security status while you're suspect or criminal. But you do not lose your ship. There is no such thing as suicide ganking in LowSec. That's the big difference. So this means that there's a lot more PvP that takes place in LowSec. LowSec. Maybe there's two types of LowSec. You've got the regular LowSec and the factional warfare one. In terms of PvP, the bulk of the PvP that goes on in LowSec takes place in factional warfare. I looked at Zkillboard a few days ago to check these out, and pretty much 70% of all the kills in low sec, 70 to 80% were in faction warfare systems. And of these, the bulk was the Kaldari Galente area, which is in Black Rise, and generally speaking, north of the high sec area. That being said, before we move into PvP, how do you make ISK and LoSec? Well, it's not always super great. It used to be horrible, and then the place received a buff that had has made it a bit less horrible. So first, with regular LoSec, the first thing that comes to mind to a lot of people is mining ores. Do not mine in low sec unless you know really, really well what you're doing. The ores are a little bit better, but they're definitely not worth the extra danger. So usually you will lose your barge or you will have to warp out to avoid being ganked. And the time you waste moving back and forth to avoid attackers, not to mention the possible cost of losing your ship, more than offsets the better quality of low sec ores, which is why an insignificant portion of the overall mining that's being done in New Eden happens in low sec. So do not mine in low sec unless you've got a really, really good reason. If you want to do it as a way to bait PvP, obviously that's a great idea. But other than that, or if you feel thrilled by being like a hashtag third life or something, go ahead. But other than that, no. Things you can do in low sec. You've got moons that you can mine. The PI is better. Planetary interaction is better than high sec. You can mine some moons, but the good moons are already taken by the big alliances, so don't get your hopes up too much. On the other hand, you could build capital ships there. And you can also do some moon reactions, again, hoping that nobody notices you and blows up your tower. Other things you can do, you've got belt ratting is actually not that bad. Particularly that you've got the chance of finding things like clone soldiers, and clone soldiers are harder NPCs, and they drop tags that when you buy them and turn them into a control station gives you some of your security status back. So these are reasonably good income when you sell them on the market to those players who for some unknown reason want to have their security status back up. I don't know why. And then you've got the possibility of getting some pretty good BPCs from other NPCs in belts like authors and things like that. But other than that, the way most people make ISK in LoSec is the way where most people live in LoSec, which is faction warfare. F up in the lecture chat channel if you know what faction warfare is. You don't have to be an expert, but generally speaking, if you know about it. Okay, anyone wants to? Okay. Flex Quantum, what would you say it is?
I thought it was basically just a tug of war between the actual in-game factions, right?
Yeah, pretty much. So you do know. It's not so rough. You do know exactly what it is. So the way you do it is you enlist with your corporation enlists with a militia. So your corporation decides to enlist for the Umar or Minmator or Kaldari or Galente. So you've got Galente fighting Kaldari and Minmator and Umar, and the Umar fighting the Minmator and Galente. There's areas of the game where you've got the Umar versus Minmator area, and one faction or the other gains control of the system by running plexes. These are not the plexes that give you that you can sell for ISK and that give you the equivalent of subscribing for a month. These are complexes. You get into the complex while you're part of the militia, obviously, and then you stay in the complex for 15 minutes. If it's a complex from the opposite side, you need to kill the NPC singular defending it. And after you've done, if you've done that uninterrupted, then you earn loyalty points with your faction. And those loyalty points you can convert to faction items, like faction ammunition, navy ships, navy modules, imperial navy slicer, that sort of things. So that's how you make airskin faction warfare. You can also do defensive plexing, meaning like, say, you're a Minmatar, you will orbit a Minmatar complex, and if after 15 minutes you're still there, then the Minmatar complex despawns and you get some loyalty points for helping defend the Minmatar cause, except that it's obviously much less than if you had been doing it in enemy space. If you do enough plexing, like if the Minmatars run all the plexes, run enough plexes in the Namor system, then the system will eventually flip from Namor to Minmatar control. And the Minmatar faction, if enough of these happen, will go to a higher stage, which means that they will, generally speaking, get more loyalty points out of their plexing. So it's sort of a balancing act. Like if you're a Maw, for example, if you're winning the war, you like it because you're earning many more loyalty points. On the other hand, after a while, the market will be flooded with more navy stuff, and so the prices will drop. Whereas there won't be quite as many Federation Navy stabbers or warp disruptors, that sort of things, and so their price will rise. And Minmatar loyalty points will become more valuable. But yeah, tug of war is pretty much what it is. So in faction warfare, you've got you're automatically war decking all the people from the opposite faction. So this means that you've got a lot of war targets, and you can shoot them in low sec without any consequences, any loss of war status. Obviously, if you're enlisting for faction warfare on, say, the Amar side, do not expect the Minmatar to like you very much after you've become an Amar hero. And the other thing to remember that's pretty important, because lots of people lose their ships stupidly because of that, you are doing the equivalent of a war deck. That war deck carries over to other spaces. This means that, in my example, if you're in the Amar militia, somebody from the Minmatar militia can shoot you in high sec without Concord consequences because you guys are at war. In faction warfare, you've got a great opportunity for PvP because you've got these plexes that everybody can fly to. You don't have to probe them. They're visible in the overview. They're also away from gates and stations, which means you do not take gate guns if you aggress somebody. So this is a great place for faction warfare players, but also pirates to go and get fights. The general idea, the general meta for faction warfare is an attrition war, so you will be flying and losing a ton of low-value ships. You will be flying a ton of Tech 1 frigates, including faction frigates. Faction and Tech 1 frigates and destroyers and cruisers will be the mainstay of your PvP, and you will be killing and losing a lot of them. That's the general meta. If you are doing the pirate stuff, then usually what you want to do is you will be staying in a place and killing old comers, like gate camping, that sort of things, like the Tama gate that is so often camped. The thing to know when traveling to high sec, to low sec, is you have to know the place. It's much more empty than high sec, obviously, so it can be fairly safe to travel through it. And there's areas of low sec that are practically empty. There's nobody there, so it's quite safe to go there, mine to PV or anything else, if you're not afraid of being bored. But if you want to PvP in a place, it helps if you know it, if you've been through it for a while, and if you know the locals, you know who's dangerous and who's not dangerous. Remember, this is a place where even a neutral is potentially hostile. The other good news with low sec is you will usually save your pod. The main way you could lose your pod will be with smart bombs. So smart bombs are a weapon that are area of effect. You warp to a gate, somebody discans you, and he activates his smart bomb just as you land. He doesn't have to lock you up. You get within the area of effect of the smart bomb, and you lose your pawn. But if you're careful, like if you walk from a different direction, if you scan the gate, that sort of things, that should not happen. And if you lose your ship, you will have time to save your pod, which happens 99% of the time in the game. That's one of the reasons why low-sec people usually have very shiny pods, because they're not afraid of losing them. Are there any questions about low-sec? I know it's a super broad overview. And by the way, the uni has a low-sec campus. Which I'm sure, I don't know how active it is at the moment. It always fluctuates. Okay, type W if you're still awake. Oh, wow, six. So many.
The accent got me.
Okay. Yeah, W like whiskey. All right, moving on. Next, changing spaces. After low-sec, moving out of Empire space altogether and going to null-sec. So, null-sec compared to low-sec, there are some things that you will be familiar with, and we'll start with NPC null-sec, the one that the uni can go to and where the EVE University null-sec campus is located at. NPC null-sec is the number of areas that are held by NPCs, like pirate factions. And these guys hold stations, so you cannot capture stations. They're always held by, say, the Goristas, Mortis Legion, Sentry, whatever. The nice thing about the changes with between null-sec and low-sec, the first thing is you do not lose security status anymore. There's no more concord. In low-sec, if you see a lone frigate at a gate, you could be pretty confident that he cannot attack you, because if he does, then he's going to take 300 DPS of gate guns, and unless he's got friends coming, he's going to be in trouble, in a frigate at least. And if he's in a bigger ship, so big enough that he can tank the gate guns, then if you're yourself, say, in a frigate or in a fairly nimble ship, you will have time to warp out before he locks you up. No more of that in null-sec. In null-sec, there's no concord, no security status loss, no sentry guns, so any frigate can engage anybody else, and there will be no getting suspect, no nothing like that. So everybody is potentially dangerous. Null-sec is a great place to boost your security status, because while you do not lose security status for attacking other players, you still earn security status for killing NPCs. So ratting in null-sec gives you ISK, obviously, and security status. The ISK you get from killing NPCs is better than in null-sec, because the security status is lower, so your concord bounties are a bit higher, and you've got bigger rats. But, and plus, you will be holding on some sec status. NPC null-sec has got stations. Stations with held by pirate factions, just like low-sec. So these guys will give you missions if you want to, and with the missions you get loyalty points that enable you to buy pirate stuff. This is where you can get things like Sister of Eve's ships. At doing missions for the Sisters of Eve give you much more loyalty points in null-sec than in high-sec. And you will get also things like the ore ships, like the miners, and then all the pirate faction stuff. Other things you can do are security missions. You've got level 5 missions. So level 5 missions are much harder than level 4, obviously. They were supposed to be done in a fleet, but you can actually solo them if you have a really a capital ship or a marauder or a really tanky polygon ship. Sorry for the break. All the NPC non-sec areas are not worth the same. Some of them give you a really, really good ISK if you want to be farming the missions, and others somewhat less so. Syndicate, for example, is not that great in terms of ISK from missioning, but one of the best areas of the game is the one from the Mordius Angels. Mordius Angel being the name of one of the alliances that lives there. It's next to Torinos, not too far from Geaton. So these guys farm burner missions from Mordius Angels all day long and make tons of ISK. The difference, another difference between NullSec and LowSec and Empire Space in general is bubbles. You've got warp interdiction spheres. So these are areas within which you cannot warp. What this means in concretely means that you will lose your pod much more often in NullSec than in LowSec. Bubbles come in two kinds. You've got the bubbles generated by ships like an interdictor, like a saber heretic and all that stuff. And you've got the bubbles that are anchored. And these are anchorables like your mobile tractor units, mobile depots, except that they generate a sphere within which you cannot warp. If you start to warp before the bubble gets up, you will fly through the bubble. It has no effect. On the other hand, when you start your warp, there's a bubble along your path, then you will stop your warp in the bubble. And how deep within the bubble depends on how big your ship was. If you have a bubble, say you were warping to a gate, and there's a bubble on this in the same line, but that is behind the gate, the bubble will drag you, and you will be dragged into the bubble up to about 150 almost kilometers from the gate. Interceptors are not are immune to bubbles, as well as strategic cruisers that have the relevant subsystem. So what this means is gate camps in NullSec. Gate camps in NullSec will catch you. You cannot warp out from a gate camp unless you're in an interceptor, because the bubble means that even if you are fast getting warp, then you cannot warp immediately. Cloaky people, cloaky people can still cloak within a bubble. You can do anything you would normally do except warp. So if you're in a cloaky ship, like a Covops or a blockade runner, that sort of things, you can still cloak and try to slowboat out of the bubble. I would suggest changing directions, because the people gate camping will have watched you and try to get within 2,000 meters of you and decloak you, at which time they will point you, scram you to shut down your microwarp drive, and then you will be potted. Any questions about NPC NullSec? So making is, you do missions, you kill the rats and bells and whatever, because they're a bit bigger. And you've got a better PI than elsewhere, because the true sec is lower. And sometimes you can do moon mining, but again, most of the good moons will be captured by the big alliances already.
How do you get into NullSec with, say, a battleship in order to kill rats? Because I think if you just try to make a way from HiSec there alone, you'll probably die.
Absolutely. I'd say there's two ways to do it. First way is be smart about your route. Like send a scout. Don't take the obvious path. For example, everybody getting to Goon space in North and NullSec, a lot of people going straight from Jida to there will be crossing out of HiSec in Torinos. The gate from Torinos to Easypeter, ECTAC P8R, is usually camped because it's such an obvious crossing point. On the other hand, should you decide to take a somewhat less obvious itinerary, you will make a few more jumps, not that many more, like four or five, and then you would, for example, jump into a factional warfare area, And from you would cross faction warfare, going gate to gate, which is much safer because, as I said before, a lot of faction warfare involves very light ships, and these guys do not want to be attacking neutrals near gates because they don't they can't tank gate guns so well. Well, if you're an easy target, they will try to kill you, obviously, but most of the time that's not where they are. And then you cross the faction warfare area and then get into Nullsec, and that's much easier travel. Doesn't mean it's safe, but it's much safer. Different way would be to just, if you're doing this as part of a corporation, just have the corporation organize a moving operation. So you have a few people moving together, and then instead of having a one lone ship, you've got a gang, and maybe you've got people from the corporation that will come if you are gate camped, for example. They will scout, tell you, be careful, there's a game on that gate, try to go this way or that way, or maybe they will help you break the gate camp. Just because you've got people camping a gate doesn't mean you can't go through. It just means that you've got a fight, but these are fights you can also win. The last way, and one that is very much used to go to usually deep Nullsec, is use wormholes. So first you go to Nullsec with a covered ops frigate, something that is really fast moving and agile. And then from your destination area, you start scanning for wormhole, and you start to, and you keep at it until you find a wormhole chain that goes to a place you could reach from the high sec. And you have to check that these wormholes will let battleships through, obviously. And then you you have the path bookmarked, and you move your battleship through through these places. And then you've got ways like if you take your battleship, you package it, so it's 50,000 cubic meters. Then with modules, it fits into a blockade, not a blockade, but a deep space transport. And then you cross. You do the trip in a deep space transport, which is faster than a battleship. It's faster to align. It's much safer. You can do the cloak plus micro warp drive trick. You've got the first 2 points that people will land on you will be negated. So if you don't go through bubbled and camped gates, you should be fine with the deep space transports. So bottom line is there's lots of ways to bring a battleship to Nullsec. You just have to think a little bit out of the box to do about it. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Okay. Last bit of space from Nullsec is Sovereign Nullsec. So that's the bulk of the Nullsec systems. In Sovereign Nullsec, the place is owned by alliances, player alliances. So the stations have no agents. They're just outposts that have been built by players, and that will be phased out when CCP comes up with the settlements. What do you do in NPC Nullsec to make ISK? You've got exploration sites, best, which are pretty good. You've got planetary interaction. PI is better than low sec because you've got low security status. PI is the same as in NPC null sec, obviously. It depends on your the security status of the system. Then you've got, if you want to go mining, you've got the mining rocks. You've got the Nullsec ores, and in Sovereign Nullsec, you can install upgrades to a system. So places where you've got dedicated miners will have mining upgrades, well, they're called industry upgrades, which will respawn ore anomalies, and including the big ore anomalies that give you really huge asteroids and those with the bonuses. Essentially, to give you an example, there's a heavy industry called that I know. It's with the Imperium in this case. And these guys have pretty much 24/7 mining fleet running with between 15 and 60, 70 miners, all with pretty good skills, local boost with max skills and all that stuff. So they could go through a fair amount of war. And even then, the ore never runs out in their system because a new mining anomaly pops up almost as soon as the last one despawned. So they can pretty much do a rotation between their mining anomalies that are present in their systems, or they might go to the belts if they were really desperate. So this is great for industry and mining. A lot of people simply run anomalies. So you've got combat anomalies, and the higher the TrueSec, so the security status of your system, the better the anomalies. Here again, you can install upgrades that will spawn more anomalies and that will improve your system from that point of view. Running anomalies, for example, you will be killing NPCs, not counting any salvage, which a lot of people don't bother with. For example, I did a little of this this morning with my rattlesnake, and every 25 minutes, that's when the server gives you all the rewards in one go, were between 20 to 25 million ISK. So that's about 70, 75 million ISK per hour, which is decent for a semi-passive income. Well, you don't have to do a lot. That's with a decent ship, but it's not. This was not a pimped rattlesnake. Last thing you can do, you've got they're called combat complexes. So some of these are really valuable. You've got a page on the wiki and on the online wiki. They're the same as you have in HiSec, except in HiSec you've got 110 to 310. Here you've got some 10-10s. And the 10 out of 10 means you've got a lot more NPCs, which means more bounties, but also the chance of getting a rare item, dead space, or a BPC, for example, like things that you build Stratuses or Nestors or Bargus with. So in NullSec, you can make a lot of ISK in Southern NullSec. The things are that you need to be blue, because if you're not aligned, if you don't have the standings, the station will not let you dock. So some stations are free ports, meaning everybody can dock. Sometimes it's the result of the owning faction losing battle. Sometimes it's the choice, like you've got faction like Phoebe Freeport Republic. That alliance systematically freeports its stations. It's in Wicked Creek and Scalding Pass. It's in the just east of Curse, which is NPC NullSec region east itself of HiSec. But most of these stations will be alliance only, so you cannot dock unless you are friendly to the owners. Living in Sovereign NullSec, you need to keep that sovereignty. So you will usually be part of an alliance that will ask you to rat a bit, mine a bit, which will make your systems harder to capture. And then you will probably go into fights. NullSec is very much organized. That's where you can feel, just like in NullSec, you can feel capitals and super capitals. So the meta being that if you're bigger, you will usually win the fights, means that NullSec residents are usually pretty organized, because they do not, if they are not organized, they will lose their space and all their assets in their stations. So this means they're usually parts of groups that will have friends and bad phone and end up in coalitions. So if you want to capture a system that will involve running in toxic nodes, toxicing a system, and doing a lot of boring stuff before you get to swap the system. I'll get into it later, but first I want to know if there's any questions about living in sovereign NullSec space. Okay, looks like no. Anybody, do you want me to go briefly into how you capture or lose a system in SovNull? If so, write a C in lecture. If you'd rather that I skip directly into the last bit of space, which is wormhole space, type W in lecture. Okay, cool. Moving on. That's great. And toxicing is boring anyway. Wormhole space. So wormhole space is the hardest space there is. Well, it's the one that has the least security of all, but that does not make it the hardest to live in. Wormhole space, best space, but well, it depends on what you want to do. There is no good or bad space. It just depends on the type of gameplay you want to have. In wormhole space is like NullSec in that there's no security status lost, there's no getting suspect, and you can kill, obviously, neutrals, you can use bubbles, you can use smart bombs, you can use bombs, you can use everything you want. There's no restrictions whatsoever. Second thing, in wormhole space, there's no local. So if you're the system, looks empty, looking at local, you do not know if you're alone in it, unless somebody else talks in local, which very few people do for some strange reason. And so unless, say you are cloaked in wormhole space and you are watching somebody get into your system and do stuff, he has no way of knowing you're there unless you attack somebody previously as well. But directly, he cannot know you are here. Whereas in NullSec, you will be watching local like a hawk, and the minute a neutral gets into your system, you will report it in the intel channel. And if you were undocked and doing like PvE, you will be at the very least aligning toward a safe pass, a safe spot or a pass. Wormhole space, you can do that. So wormhole space, you will be descanning like crazy because that will be your only warning. Sometimes that won't be enough because you'll have cloaked ships or you'll have reckon ships that don't show up on the scan. But other than that, the only clue you have that you're not on a system is when you can you start seeing probes or when you start seeing ships on the scan that weren't there previously. You've got no gates. So in wormhole space, you need to like scanning because everything has to be probed down. You need to like bookmarks because everything needs to be bookmarked. So once you scan, you move through wormholes, and wormholes are bookmarked, and wormholes do not have the restrictions that gates have. They've got others. Compared to a gate, very quickly, compared to a gate, when you are at a gate, you aggress somebody, then you've got a 1 minute timer during which you cannot take the gate or dock up at the station. So that's why it's so important when people are fighting at gates or at stations. Sometimes you hear in Fleet, yeah, he's aggressive, he's red box me, whatever. This means, yeah, we've got 1 minute during which this guy cannot jump or duck up. Let's kill him. In wormhole space, not so. If wormhole space, you're sitting on, well, first, there's no stations, obviously. In wormhole space, you're sitting next to a wormhole and you are firing at somebody. And you can at any moment jump through the wormhole. The wormhole does not care whether you have been naughty or not in the preceding seconds. The problem you have with wormholes is polarization. So if you go, say, from wormhole, from system A to system B, through wormhole, it does not matter whether A on B or in high sec, low sec, wormhole space. You can do A from B, and then you can do B from A. But then if you want to take the wormhole from A to B again, you need to have 5 minutes between the two jumps. So this can get you stuck on the wormhole pretty easily. Like you jump into a wormhole, you find a gate camp if you want, like a bubble and a few people waiting for you. Go, oops, jump back. Somebody jumped back after you, or maybe he was a cloaky saber. Jump back and the saber now just deployed the bubble. Well, now you are in a wormhole that you cannot cross again for the next 5 minutes, minus the time you spent going back and forth. So you're polarized and you're in trouble. Wormholes have time and mass limits. Time meaning so they rarely last more than 24 hours, and mass limits depend on wormholes. Some of them will only let frigates and destroyers through, others will let bigger ships. And if you move, even if it's a big wormhole, if you move a bunch of battleships back and forth, or even a fleet of cruisers through a launch hole, then that hole will exhaust all its mass and it will collapse after a while. So you want to make sure that the hull is still there and it does not collapse while your fleet is crossing through. And you want to make sure you're not locked out of places you didn't want to be in. Wormhole space, how to make ISK. There's in low-class wormholes, so wormholes are created, wormhole systems. Wormhole systems are created from C1 to C6. The PI is the same there, so the people who want to do PI farms will just need a system that has a lot of planets and of the valuable planets. The C6 wormholes have more dangerous NPCs. Now, compared to DanSec, wormhole NPCs, which are called sleepers, are less numerous, but they're much, much stronger. Cruiser in a wormhole is at least the equivalent of a battleship in NullSec anomaly or site. Depends on the class of wormhole, and in a high class wormhole, a battleship, the kind of battleships that spawn like with the capital escalations, are really, really dangerous. The good news is that those sleepers give you blue loot on in their wrecks, so that's their items that NPCs in the Empire space will buy, and so you can make a lot of ISK killing these guys. Other way, looking at making ISK, so I mentioned PI. Another way is exploration. So exploration used to be extremely profitable, particularly in the high-class wormholes. It has completely crashed. It is totally crap. Sites like server banks, which used to give you up to 400 million ISK, now will give you 50 million if you're lucky. So, nope, the exploration is no longer a gold mine the way it used to be. Mining, not that great. Mining has the same ores as in NullSec, but you never have the ones that have plus 5 or plus 10%. And you've got no belts in wormholes, you only depend on the mining anomaly spawning. Obviously, when you're on a mining anomaly, everybody can see the anomaly because it's on the overview. And it's on the probe window, so it doesn't even need to be scanned. So if they de-scan you and they realize that they're finding a retriever of the general distance and direction on their de-scan as the anomaly, they will walk to the anomaly and grab you. So that's dangerous. One more thing you can do, and so as I mentioned, killing sleeper is the big item that will give you ISK in wormholes. And in high-class wormholes, you can do capital escalations. This means that if you warp a carrier or a dreadnought, anything bigger does not fly in wormhole space. If you fly a carrier or a dreadnought to a site, the site will spawn an additional wave of sleeper battleships. And these are obviously very dangerous, but if you kill them, they are worth a lot of loot and a lot of ISK. For example, in the C5 wormhole where I live, we don't run escalations all that often because my alliance is mainly PvP. But when we do, let's say we get a fleet up of, 10 to 15 people, sometimes less. In 1-2 hours, we will make what? Each one will make 400, 450, 500 million ISK. But after that, the sites, you need to wait for the next day for the sites to respawn. But it's pretty fast ISK, and then you're free to scan your chain again in PvP. How are you safe in a wormhole? If you really wanted to be safe, you picked the wrong space. But there are still ways. You can roll all the wormholes connecting to your system. So you put mass into it, and until you've got so much mass that the wormhole collapses. If you calculated it right, then the wormhole collapses while you're on the right side, meaning in your home. Otherwise, well, that's too bad. And you will have your static wormhole that goes out of your wormhole system. That one is always there. But if you do not activate it, the other side of the wormhole will not appear on the scanning overview of its destination system for a while. So it cannot even be probed down. You've got a little time, a few hours, during which, unless another wormhole opens into your system, you are completely safe. Know that, obviously, maybe there are some people who are already in your system, cloaked up, watching you and waiting for you to start that escalation with all those expensive ships to gank you. Some corps are specializing in that. Last point about wormholes, somebody mentioned high-sec explorations. The low-class wormholes, the C1 to C3, have wormhole exploration and data and relic sites. So these are guarded by sleepers. But they also have the equivalent of nullsec sites, so these have a pirate name in them. These are the exact equivalent of nullsec sites, except that they're not in sovereign nullsecs, so you can do them at will with no problem from uni. And the systems are pretty empty, so as long as you make sure you keep an eye on D-scan, you should be reasonably safe doing them. So that's probably would be my advice for somebody who would get into exploration. Find wormhole. If you get into a place of in low sec that is far away from everything with nobody local and you've got sites, do the sites. If you've got the equivalent for null sec and you are allowed to go into sovnull because these places, the remote places null sec are in sovnull, then do them. And if you're in a C1 to C3 wormhole and you've got data sites with a pirate name, then you could run them, making sure that no one tries to gank you. Identity and identified. All the wormholes out there that have only one exit, one connection to another wormhole or K-space. Yes, you've got... every wormhole system will always have, it's called a static. This means it will always have a wormhole to the same category of space. For example, the home wormhole of our alliance is a C5 wormhole with a C5 static. This means that if all the wormholes that go into our system disappear because they get old or they collapse because we push too much mass into them, and that wormhole, that particular wormhole to another C5, once it disappears, it will respawn and it will lead to a C5 wormhole. That's called a static. Some wormholes, the lower class wormholes, the C1 to C3s, can have statics to K-space. So you can have, for example, the wormhole campus in the uni has a high-sec static. This means that in their system, there will always be a wormhole leading to a high-sec system. Now, that doesn't mean it's a convenient high-sec system. Sometimes you will be your high-sec system will be in solitude, for example. Sometimes it will be next to Jita. Sometimes it will be 30 jumps to Jita, but it will be high-sec. That much is guaranteed. Some wormholes, the C2 and C4 wormholes, some of them have two statics. So you can pick your system to, I'm not going to go into choosing a system because that would be very long, but bottom line is some people will pick statics that will get them to K-space more quickly, and others will want statics that give them fights. For example, if you have a C2 and C5 static, C5 gives you access to good PvE and to the higher end wormhole corporation. And C2 gives you very long chains because your static will be a C2, which will usually have two statics, so plus all the wormholes that would spawn into it the way they do in like high sec. So you will have a lot of places to go to. Which wormhole mapping tool do you prefer? Sigi is extremely popular. And actually, my alliance uses mapping tools that we have developed ourselves. And we like them because we are used to them. They do the job. And what we like about them is their hours, so nobody can look at our data and spy on us. So I'm afraid I'm not an expert on the wormhole mapping systems that are out there outside of public ones like Sigi, because most of the time when I run map wormholes, I use our own. Yeah, Tripwire, Unitool, all that stuff. There are some good ones. They all do the job. If you find one that you prefer, then have fun. Like, for example, we have two even. We've got one mapping tool from our wormhole and a different one that is more flexible for accommodating different systems, because when we base out of our NullSec constellation, then obviously we do not have a static, so we will scan the wormholes in our constellation, the neighboring constellations, to see what the wormhole chains plural are. So we need a tool that gives us chains to different systems. Yeah, there's a lot of opinions there, some of them passionate, but I'm really afraid I can't give you any informed comment on this. Okay, so just to summarize, which area of space has the most PvP? The answer would be HiSec. You've got the most ships killed in HiSec because that's where you've got the most people. If you want to have the greatest amount of PvP, go to HiSec, join a war decking corp, and you'll have a lot of PvP. Or go to HiSec and fight war decking corps, and you will also have a lot of PvP. LowSec, you've got LowSec. If you like to do PvP, then this is a very good for quick and easy PvP. You get into your station, log in, you move to a complex, have a fight or two. If not, you've got 15 minutes, you've earned a good amount of risk, and you can log back in after, say, an hour. So NPC NullSec is about the same. Soft NullSec and wormhole space do require more playing time, if only because you've got longer distances to travel, you've got all that scanning to do in wormhole space. So it is possible to have short playing sessions in wormhole space. I, for example, have a daytime job and a family, so I cannot play 10 hours a day. But it does take longer to get things done in wormhole space, for example. And same in soft null, it's not for everybody. Yeah, but I'm afraid so. If it weren't for negative impacts and moving around HiSec, faction warfare sounds like a real good way of having more false flag with the Plex system. Yes, absolutely. Faction warfare gives you very quick and easy PvP. On the other hand, it's not, you've got its problems as well. Nothing is perfect. You've got infection warfare, you will warp to a Plex, you'll descan a Plex, you find there's the ship there, you walk to it, say, good, I'm going to have a fight, and then you find that the guy warps out because all he was after was farming LPs, and once you get to his site, he just warps to another one to make a ISK and evade your PvP. Sometimes you will warp to him, you tackle him because he was half AFK, and then you see him warp away anyway because he was warp core stabbed like crazy. So nothing's perfect. Sometimes you will grab him, and then he will bring his 20 friends to the fight, which is baiting and all that stuff. So it's not all rules. It's nowhere perfect. But absolutely. And faction warfare is very good for easy access PvP. It's a very popular, space, and it's the one space where you make ISK while doing PvP. The other space where you would make ISK doing PvP is HiSec if you gank freighters. That doesn't count to as PvP to everybody. Or if you do, if you gank mission runners in HiSec by doing world decks or by baiting them, or in NullSec, you will have some very pimp ships running anomalies half AFK, because after a while, anomalies like mining, they're numbing, and so people have slower reaction times. You can tackle them and get some good loot from modules, but it's does take you, you will have to move through more systems, a lot of them almost empty, before you get to your target. So factional warfare, particularly in the Kaldari Galente area, is a good place if you want to have instant PvP. If you want to have the good fights, the big fights, sorry, if you want to have the major fights, the one that they talk about in news, you want to have like 500 people fighting 500 other people with the Titans, Supers, and all that stuff, the only place to go would be Sovereign Nullsec, though there are some pretty big fights at the moment in Nullsec between major entities like Snub versus Shadow Cartel. But still, the biggest fights are in Sovereign Nullsec. In Wormhole Space, you will have fewer people. You've got, it's more about the hunting. You never know when you're being tracked. You have to have really good reflexes. Sometimes you were doing something, sometimes you're busy doing something because the NPCs are dangerous. And then suddenly, oops, you've got like one Proteus and six stealth bombers that pop up on your overview. They've just decloaked. And now you need to move out really fast. Or engage them, but you need to react super fast, even though that's absolutely not what you were doing. Conversely, in Wormhole Space, hunting a guy means that you need to be very, very stealthy about it, because if he sees you on D-scan, he will warp out. If he sees combat probes, he will warp out, unless he's a really very new player. So you need to find a way to stalk him and land on him and catch him. That's probably the hardest part. GL Ultra Hard. In Providence, neutrals are kind of safe and can mine rat. Is that true? Yes, sort of. So I cannot go into the specifics of all the Nullsec regions. Let me emphasize that this was really an overview, no more than that. And I'm already running more than an hour. But there's a lot of difference between the various areas of different category of space. For example, there's more difference. I made arbitrary categories. There's more difference between living in Sovnol and, say, Providence, in the drone regions, and in Declane with the Good Swarm Federation, and in Fountain, than there is between living in, say, Lowsec and NPC Nullsec, even though technically in my first series of examples, we're all in Sovnol. That being said, Providence. Providence, they've got a non-red downshoot policy. So this means that they will not automatically shoot the neutrals. If you see a neutral in local and you're part of Providence, you do not attack him. If he attacks you, obviously you will attack, but you do not have to attack him. The flip side is that a lot of people, if you do attack Providence, then Providence, they are nice, but they're not crazy. So this means that entities that are known for attacking Providence people will be set red. My alliance, for example, not to mention it. Since we're PvP alliance, we roam Nullsec and we catch any fights we can. My alliance is automatically red on Providence overviews. So if I were to fly in Providence, the local residents would engage me without any problem, even if I were to tell them that I am a peaceful miner. And even if I was peaceful, there's no way I can go to Providence and be neutral with my current alliance. Some people are red as individuals, so they've got a really bad reputation. I'm pretty sure the uni is red to Providence, and there's a tool that allows you to check it, that I don't have it bookmarked at the moment. Do not think that being neutral is going to protect you in Providence. The reason being that suppose I'm in Providence and you're in Providence. You're in the Providence system and you are, say, mining. You see me in local, you will see me as neutral. But I'm not Provid block. I don't care about not rain dot shoot. I'm going to shoot anybody. So I will go find a miner and I'll go, whoops, there's a noob in his belt who doesn't know how to check the local and who doesn't know how to check the scan. I'll point you and I'll kill you. And you'll go, but I thought that neutral was safe in Providence. Well, yes, they are safe from Providence people. So Yes, to an extent, you can mine and rat and explore in Providence, but it only goes so far. Thanks, Faye, very much. That's exactly what I wanted. So that's the tool that lets you know if you are red on Providence. The tool that Faye linked. So the way you do is you set your name on it.
It's Uni KOS Providence.
Yeah, because the Uni went to Providence to roam and to get some PvP content, so they're kill on site. But you are not KOS by yourself. If you click on the result, for example, I linked my own thingy. It gives you, for example, it says that my alliance is considered KOS to CVN its allies. So if I were to change alliances and join an alliance that would not be kill on site by Providence, then I could go to Providence and enjoy the benefits of being a neutral there. Any other question? Okay, so this concludes the class. Those of you who are still awake, do please comment on this thread. This is the first time I'm teaching this class, and I'm sort of mad that I don't have the visuals that I wanted to use, but never mind that. It was not a slideshow because I hate slides, but I would have given you some things to look at anyway. So any comments you might have about the class or suggestions how to improve it will be super welcome. I'm sure the teaching department would love it.